Blog Talk Radio. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome, 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 saints of the Most High God, kings and queens. You're now tuned in to the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. I am your host, Minister Faith Walker, also known as the Lazarus. Amen. Sit back. We have an awesome program. And forgive us for any feedback, anything. We're on the move tonight. Amen. On the spot, Nathan traveling. They're brought to you live in Columbia, South Carolina. So bear with us on this evening. We're going to continue to bring you the very best in kingdom programming. Amen. Got to make major moves because we are upon a very critical season in the body of Christ on 2014. Let's go to the throne of grace. Humble ourselves in his presence. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, forgive us of our sins, our iniquities, Lord God. And we just ask, Lord God, that you be glorified on this telecast, Lord God. We just ask, Lord God, that this radio program be glory unto your name, God. And we ask in the name of Jesus Christ to release your angels, taking authority over anything that's not like you, Lord God. Watch us by the power of your anointing. Let us connect with the anointing that's responsible, Lord God, for quickening of all the individuals who are here by divine assignment, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, touch the man of God, your pastor, Lord God, with the shepherd's heart, Lord God, your last day pastor, Lord God. And Lord God, let the spirit of wisdom guide him on tonight, Lord God. And let your Holy Spirit anoint us afresh, Lord God, and be in the midst of us continuously. Bless Pastor Hill, who's behind the scenes, Lord God. And rebuke every adversary who tries to come against this broadcast being released on tonight. And anybody who stands in need of a breakthrough and encouragement on tonight, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. So touch that iPhone, that iPad, touch that desktop, that laptop, in the name of Jesus, we declare, we decree that the atmosphere is now shift, and you're under the subject of governmental laws by the theocracy of Almighty God, in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, God, in Jesus' name, amen. All of God's people say amen. Now, First Epistle Peter reads, amen, first chapter of Epistle Peter, amen, the third verse reads, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy had begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fade not away reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the word of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perish, though it be tried with fire, my God, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearance of Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, I just finished reading the first epistle, amen, of Peter, verses 3 through 8, 7, 8, amen, in Jesus' name. Now on tonight, we got an awesome man of God, amen. I guess this is round three, amen. Back by popular demand, amen. Y'all wanted him back, amen. He's back again, amen. Y'all was greatly blessed the last time he was on, amen, the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. He's a busy man, busy pastor, amen. He is the pastor of the Connection Church. It's where they're reaching to an uncharted generation, amen. They're birthing people out by the anointing. Amen. They're training up leaders for this present dispensation in the name of Jesus Christ. He also has an outreach ministry. He's traveled overseas. If you know this man of God, he's been on TBN, amen. He also counsels the Oklahoma Police Department, excuse me, and also the gang units over there in the name of Jesus Christ. I bring forth none other than this time, Pastor Tory Montgomery. Did we lose our pastor? Okay. Well, Pastor Tory, if you're listening, sir, you can just call back on in. Amen. You can definitely call back on in. Amen. And we're going to continue with our broadcast. We're going to read some scripture. And amen, we're going to continue with this broadcast at this time, amen, in the name of Jesus Christ. So the first epistle of Peter, at the scripture that we just read on tonight, it said, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen, amen. Forgive us, we're having technical difficulties on tonight. Amen, as we wait to patch our pastor back in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, Pastor Tory Montgomery, amen. While we wait on the pastor, we'll continue to expound on Scripture, amen.
But, hello, can you hear me?
Okay, amen. I thought the Lord was doing something miraculous, amen. I thought I had to preach tonight, amen. hey, Pastor. The Bible said, be instant in season, out of season. I said, oh,
that's
Lord.
It.
I said, I know
you,
I got the Holy
be.
Ghost. Time to go.
Yes, right.
I thought the Holy Ghost would put me on the spot.
Yes, I'm excited about being back on the show. Excited about what God is doing with the mantle of God. And just excited to be able to have an opportunity to share something that God is doing or saying in this nation. Amen.
Amen, amen. Well, we definitely are excited about having you back on here. And I know you started out, you were doing Greater Kingdom, amen, and then then God gave you a revelation about the Connection Church. Just briefly give us the vision of the Connection Church so people who knew you when we were operating on the Greater Kingdom up until now.
Yeah, in the beginning, like you said, we started Greater Kingdom Works International Ministries, which has always been focused on international, global mission, reaching the world globally with the kingdom of God. As we began to evolve as a church and things, we shifted to Connection Church, and the purpose of that is because now we're connecting people to the kingdom, connecting people to the love of God. We wanted to be able to reach all people of all races, all cultures, all backgrounds, so to bring them into the kingdom and to connect them with the kingdom of God, connect them with the grace of God, connect them with the love of God. So that's the purpose of shifting to the Connection Church there.
Okay. So how was it like for you starting off early in ministry? I mean, going from starting off as a church musician, as I understand, from a church musician, St. Stephen's Baptist Church, and then just through the music going on to ministry. Just kind of run through that transition from music into ministry.
Yeah, like I said, I played as a musician for several years for my dad's church, actually, at St. Stephen's Baptist Church, like you said there, in Duncan, Oklahoma is where I was at, and then moved to Oklahoma City eventually after that. I always tell people I'm really Baptist Costal, so, you know, I have the Baptist roots in the Church of God in Christ, so I'm Baptist Costal. And so as I was playing and developing as a worship leader, God just started releasing revelation into my spirit, into my heart. And as I'm leading worship, I'm preaching all the time. I was preaching as I was leading worship. And from there, it kind of birthed a ministry in me. One Sunday, my pastor at the time here in Oklahoma City said, just came in there. I was playing, getting ready for service. He came and pointed at me and said, it's on you today. And I said, what's on me? He said, it's on you, the word. And so from that point, I preached that day, spur of the moment, but I preached. God moved, and from that point, it just really birthed ministry in me. That became my heart more than even playing music and things like that. Delivering the word became my heart. So that's how that transition kind of took place for me.
My God, my God. Those of you who are listening around the world via internet, smartphones, iPad, desktops, whatever your electronic devices is, around the World Wide Web, internet, 347-945-5416. That's 347-945-5416. We have the pastor, overseer, amen, of the Connection Church of Oklahoma City, amen. We have the one and only Pastor Tory Montgomery joining us once again, amen, backed by popular demand, amen. Amen. Y'all love the anointing on this man of God, so we brought him back one more time, amen, so you could just sit back and relax while he kick it with us on this episode of the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. Now, Pastor, I know you stay connected with the Spirit of God. I know you're Spirit-led, Spirit-bred. How important, I want you to really go into this, how important is 2014? You know, besides adding up, okay, you know, when you look on the service to, you know, 2014, okay, it equals seven. But how important is next season? Can you explain to the body of Christ how critical next season is?
Well, yes, that's definitely good. As you look at the shift of our global economy, global, the climate of our land, the landscape of our nation globally, and ultimately our world, actually globally, you see where immorality is high and off the charts. You know, people have no morals anymore, and standards have been lower. As you look at that, as you look at the economy, the financial crisis that we've seen, and as we go to 2014, world standards, the world system is not going to get better. The reality of it is that system is not going to get better. So it's critical for us as the kingdom of God, as those who have a dominion mindset, it's critical for us to move into position. That means this is our world starts failing. That means it's kingdom time. It's the kingdom's time to now rise up, and then we produce the standard, whether that's economically, whether that's through moral values, standards, whatever it is, we begin to set that standard, and we begin to become the gauge that you look at. So the church, people in the kingdom have to rise up and really take that position of authority as we move it. So it's very critical. 2014 is because, again, the world globally is not going to get better. But the kingdom is, the Bible says in Hebrews, is unshakable. We are a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So therefore, we have to rise up, get in position, and do what God's called us to do. It's going to be critical that we do that.
Amen. And you're so right. As far as taking dominion, and I believe God just, He had given me the revelation about kingdom dominion, and I know you've already had tapped into it. It's very crucial in this hour, but having a kingdom dominion mindset versus tradition. Now, can tradition, why is it that it seems like the older church, why does it seem like the older saints that have been there for a while, it seems like the kingdom principles are kind of clashing with that? Can you just explain that? Like, because we know that it's freedom and it's liberty in the things of God. And why is, when you come down to tradition, some of the boxing stuff that's been going on, it's no liberty when it comes to versus the kingdom. Can you explain that?
Yeah, absolutely. What it is, you know, you got to realize that a lot of people don't understand the kingdom. There are three things the kingdom are important to us. And the kingdom is always progressive, is always productive, and is always powerful. And these three elements have to be in place, and you have to understand these things. Now, here's something I'll say. A religion is not progressive. I've been teaching on religion, as a matter of fact. Religion does not progress. It is not progressive. It can't progress. As a matter of fact, it doesn't have the ability to progress because it's an organization. Organizations don't have the ability to progress. The kingdom is an organism. Organisms are eyes, which means they're always progressing. They eat, they feed, and they get rid of waste. So here's what happens a lot of times in our churches that are not progressing with the global movement of the kingdom is that they haven't learned how to get rid of waste. What's not working anymore, what's useless, doesn't have any power anymore. Because here's our reality. A lot of things that we used to do had power when we did them then. But what is God doing now? Because a lot of people get stuck on what God did, but can't find what God is doing. The Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It didn't say that proceedeth, as in past. It said proceedeth, as in the thing that's constantly proceeding out of the mouth of God. So if I'm going to live by bread, which is revelation, bread always equals revelation. If I'm going to live by revelation, it has to be a progressive revelation. So what is God progressively saying? Not what did he say. That was good what he said, but what is he saying today? In other words, what he said in 2013 was great, but what is he saying for 2000?
That's right.
And once we learn how to grab hold of a preceding word of God, we'll get into the progressive kingdom of God, and we won't get stuck in tradition. Remember, the Bible says tradition makes the word of God of none effect. That's the only thing in the Bible that ever says makes the word of God of none effect, the traditions of men. The traditions of men make the word of God of none effect. And so we got to know how to break. It's time to break something. It's time to let something go so that we can move into the next phase of what God is doing. Because we limit God. We put God in a little box. We tie God up with our own ideologies and our own thoughts. And so we make God small in our minds. But God is so much bigger than what we have made him, even in past times. God is always progressing. And the Bible says this, his mercies are new every day.
Yes.
Every
yes.
day there's something new about him that we can discover.
Yes.
And so we got to get to the point that we're not just looking at the old thing. We can't put new wine in old wineskins.
That's right.
At some point, you got to get rid of that old wineskin and say, okay, God, here I am. I'm ready for the outpour of what you have new. That's what we've been missing in the body of Christ in recent years. But I think God is changing, because I think people are being raised up that are ready for what's new and what God is doing today.
Amen, amen, amen. 347-945-5416. That's 347-945-5416. If you're online on the World Wide Web, you can definitely call that number in and definitely tap into this conversation. You can press 1 at any time, and you can talk with the man of God, the pastor, who you requested back by popular demand. Amen at this time. Now, Pastor Torrey, you said something key. You said something about the Word of God being of none effect through tradition, amen. And so you mean to tell me that I could be preaching the kingdom of God in power with the anointing and the authority that God has given, but if I yield myself to tradition, I make that of none effect?
Absolutely. If you yield yourself to tradition, you'll make it, your preaching is basically powerless if you yield to tradition, because what you have done is you have said to God, I don't care where you're going, this is where I am, and I'm going to stay where I am no matter where you're going. And so it's a dangerous thing to be preaching in one place and God is somewhere else. It's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing to be having service in one place and God is somewhere else, because God now he has shifted into it. There's a shift that he has done. And so because what happens is we become mechanical. By nature, we become mechanical and repetitious in what we do. And God is not mechanical. God is constant in the fact that he never changes, but he's not mechanical. So when he says God never changes, of course, that means that he's always going to be God. No matter what, he's going to be God. No matter what happens, he's going to be God. No matter what the world is doing, he's going to be God. He'll be God no matter what. That doesn't change. But what does change in God is, or how he does release, is that you got to remember there are seasons, there are times, there are days, there are signs, according to Genesis, when God created the lesser light and the greater light. Seasons, times, days, and years is what the Bible talks about, which means that there's going to be a season when God shifts from where you are to where he is now, and you have to make that shift with him when that season changes. You cannot be in Oklahoma. I don't know how many of you have been to Oklahoma, but Oklahoma is a very interesting state in that we can have snow, a thunderstorm, an earthquake, a tornado, flood all in one day at different times of the day. It could be sunny, then snowy, then sunny again, then an earthquake hit, and then a tornado hit all in one day within hours of each other. But what I've learned is I have to learn how to shift when the weather shifts. So right now, today, it was around 50 to 60 degrees. Tomorrow, it may be 10 degrees outside. I can't go. Today, I went outside with a short sleeve shirt on. I was able to go out and do some things. Tomorrow, I may have to put an overcoat on. I have to shift with the time. Here's what we don't do in the church is we don't shift. We stay cold. We keep an overcoat on when it's hot. Or we put we go outside with a T-shirt on when it's cold. We don't shift.
My God.
So you have to be able to shift when God is shifting. You have to be able to move when God is moving. If not, you'll be cold, you'll be traditional, you'll be caught up, and you'll be repetitious with no power, a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof.
My God. My God. My God, you're blessing me right now, amen. I don't know about anybody else, amen, but you're blessing me, amen. It's very good information, amen, by the Spirit of the Lord. So we're going to go a little bit deeper. So y'all just hang on. Hope you got your notebook pads ready, because we're going in, amen. So in the book of Revelations, amen, it talks about the candlestick, amen. It talks about the candlestick. And now as we examine the seven churches, we see that some churches were jumping, shouting, running all over the place, rolling on the floor, and the candlestick wasn't even there. And then at some point, the Lord was talking about, I will remove it if you don't correct some things in this church. If you don't correct some things in this church, my God, the light is gone. The light is gone. You know, even it's red letters, see, for all the red letter heads. It's even red letters when the Lord told Zed that about the concern just about our killer kids. Our killer kids. Mm-hmm. Now, this don't sound like the Lord that was crucified on the cross. So we, but this is New Testament that we're reading, that the letters that was given to the churches of that time. And for all my theologians, it can be applied spiritually, historically, and doctrinally, according to the interpretations of Scripture. So how critical is it in this hour? Do you discern by the Spirit of God that is a lot of that going on right now? We're having church, but we're not becoming a church.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. In our churches, we've mastered theatrics of God, that we can play God. We got the theater down, in other words. We master the theatrics of God. We don't have the theology. We have the theatrics. We don't have the theology. We understand. We've learned church. And when you learn church, it becomes dangerous. So, you know, I know when I can hit the right chord on the organ and everybody's going to start shouting and take off running.
Yeah, come on.
I know exactly when to do that. I know exactly what catchphrases to say. And if I say the right catchphrase at the right time, it's going, you know, church is going to turn up. So what's happened is we have become, this is crazy, but this is what God showed me. We have begun to worship our emotions rather than worship God.
Mm.
We have begun to worship our emotions. We have begun to, we begin to worship our worship. And rather than God, I was at Dr. Marcelona's church and heard him say that one day, and it just blew my mind. He said, we worship our worship. So we worship the fact that the singer sounds good, and the musicians are playing, and the band is on fire, and this person is squalling and hitting all the rolls and all the runs and all the notes. We worship that, and we totally miss God. So we got to get back to the place of a worship song said, getting back to the heart of worship. We have to get back to the place where we're at the heart of worship, where it's not about tapping into the emotions of a man. It's about tapping into God. And as John chapter 4 said, worshiping him in spirit and in truth, worshiping him in the depths of who we are, in the depths of who he is, and truth again, revelation, and in the revelation of who he is. And when we get to that point, we'll begin to see the power of God function, flow again. When I look at it, going overseas in Africa, the difference, and we talked about this last time, but there's a difference because one of the things is that the people really have a hunger and a thirst for the presence and the glory of God. And it's not about who sounds the best, who has the biggest name, who has all that. It's about Jesus. I want him to show up. I want God to show up. And that's where we have to get back to, even in our nation, in our worship settings. We have to get back to the point that it is all about him. It's not about us. It's not about the show. It's about him. And we'll see the power of God again. We'll see miracles, signs, and wonders again, like we should see them. On the left, we should see those. So, amen. We got to get, as you talk about that candlestick and getting the glory, it's really all about getting the glory returned to the house. You know, at the point where glory cloud comes in so thick, as in Chronicles, it says that people could not even stand to minister. And if you remember, it was because there was one sound. Now, what was that one sound would be the question next. One sound wasn't necessarily the right note, although that's important. I do believe that. It wasn't necessarily the right person. The one was that they in earth had connected to a sound in heaven.
Yes.
And the sound in earth had now become the sound in heaven. So when we talk about one sound, we're talking about the sound that's coming from earth becoming one with the sound coming from heaven, and then you have glory released. This is how the glory is released. Well, if we get to that point, that we can connect with heaven at that level. If two or three are gathered together in my name, he says, I will be there in the room also. Or how can two walk together and be agreed? Now, that of course, we know, theologically and hermeneutically, we can talk about what that means, but also deeper than that in the revelation of this is that when I become one with him, when my spirit becomes one with his spirit, that's two in agreement. When I become one with him, my spirit becomes one with his spirit, then all of a sudden the glory is in the midst of the room. But oftentimes we're not one with the Spirit of God. We, again, it's an emotional thing for us. We're in this thing for our emotions. Amen.
My God, I'm loving this, amen. Let me run the number out before I forget, amen. I'm having a ball up in here. 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. We got the man of God, Pastor Tory Montgomery here, amen, on the mantle of God, amen, from the Connection Church. He's the pastor there, amen. Those of you who in the Oklahoma area, amen, if you don't already know about him, amen, you need to go there and get fed, amen. The Rhema word is there for you, amen. Make sure you go and check him out, all the surrounding areas out there. Make sure you check this man of God out, amen. We were talking about worship just now, but amen, and I just, you know, is something that the Spirit of the Lord is constantly saying, like, okay, a lot of saints need to turn the music off in your prayer closets. My. It's okay to have it on before you go there, but once you get there, amen, you know, you need to turn it off, amen, because a lot of that emotionalism is happening in the body of Christ. But we're taught when we go into church, come on, y'all, let's just worship. The music going, let's just worship. And what is that doing for our growth? What is that teaching us? What is that teaching us as saints? Come on, let's worship, let's worship. Okay, first let's shut the music down. And then the real worshipers, the Spirit and truth, then will come forth. Then the Spirit and truth, and then all the emotionalism, those who are turned up by that'll begin to turn down. And now it's a real connection must happen at that point. Do you feel like God is calling us back to the ways of biblical, true sound biblical teaching as far as worship? When you was talking about connecting with the oneness of where this glory came in and he couldn't even minister, back to that.
Yes, absolutely. I think, again, when we talk about correct, because you mentioned earlier correction in the church, correcting things, that's basically reformation, which in the Greek word is diorthosis, which means to make straight or make right. So God is reforming the church and reforming the church in the sense of bringing us back to the path that God designed for the church to be. When we talk about worship, why do we worship? We worship because he's God. We worship because he's the creator of all things. We don't worship for a new house. We don't worship for a new car and a new job. We don't even worship for a breakthrough. That's not why we worship. We worship because he's God. So that I can get to a place that if there's no music in the house, I can still lift my hands and cry out to God because he's God. That's why we worship. We worship because we are given the ability to worship because Jesus died on the cross. And the Bible says the veil was ripped, which gave us access into the Holy of Holies. Good God Almighty. Gave us access into the Holy of Holies. And so that we can go into that place and be there and be pure before God in that place through our worship. So we can that's why we worship, because Jesus made a way, because God is God, and because he's holy and because he's righteous. So we lift our hands and we give him honor and we give him worship. It's simply that. So, yes, I believe God is reforming and restoring the worship back into the houses and back into the churches as he designed for it to be. And let me say this, too. Worship is not what you do. If you think worship is what you do, you always miss it. Worship is not do. Worship is what you live. So that's one of the issues that people think worship is what you do. So what do we say? And we say it in our church, too. Every church says that we're getting ready to have praise and worship. Maybe we should say we're getting ready to be praise and worship, because that's who we are. That's what we do. We are praise and worship to God. The Bible says the earth shall be full of the glory of God, full of the knowledge of the glory of God. How does that happen? It happens through God's creation. Glory is released through the creation. So most people want worship to come down, want glory to come down, when actually glory should come out. It should come out of us as we give God glory, and the glory comes out. It's really what happens. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We are the temple of God. So all of it is in us. We just got to release it, and it doesn't come out of us if we only think we're doing worship. But when we live worship, every day of your life is worship. Yes. You talk about the worship leaders. They don't have to get up there and pump and prime and just, you know, be sweating and doing all that stuff to get people to lift their hands, because people will come into the house and say, man, I live worship. This is who I am.
Oh, God. No. So you quickened me just now, Pastor. So You're saying we live this worship, amen. So now Jesus said in the book of Matthew, he said that ye are the light of the world. So I'm a light, you a light, this brother's a light, this sister's a light. So now when we come as that light, because we live a life of worship, of consecration, we come into the house of God. And so now when we come together as a life of worship, it causes an inferno that connects with the anointing of that candlestick that is in that house. So you're saying that now we're producing something, a move of God in the atmosphere in the church.
Absolutely. Yeah, when we get to worship, again, going back to John chapter 4, the woman, Jesus and the woman there, he says, you worship, but you don't know what you worship. And her worship now, her worship was in the hills. It was in the mountains. That's where she thought worship was. But you don't know what worship is. You don't know who you worship. But there is an hour that's coming and now is, which is always interesting. There's an hour that's coming and now is. Your now is whenever your hour is right when you step into the now, that now is happened. So he says, in other words, he says, it's coming if you want it, but it's now if you want it. Good God. So he says, the hour is coming and now is for those that will worship me. They will worship me in spirit and in truth. Going back to that spirit and in truth. You're going to worship me. Now, that spirit is important because that spirit deals with the spirit of man. It's not really dealing with the Holy Spirit like sometimes we think. It's dealing with the spirit of man. That's important because it's dealing with the nature of man, again, connecting with the spirit of God because of truth. For the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, back to that. Truth,
Jesus,
is the word gnosis. I believe is what the word it means to be intimate. It means to know, I'm sorry. To know is the word gnosis. It means to be intimate. The word truth is important because it's revelation. So here it is now. If I become the true worshiper, I must become intimate with revelation. Once you become intimate with revelation, I'll know the truth and I'll be set free. Free for what? Free to worship him out of my spirit. I'll be set free. Oh, glory to God. I'm no longer worshiping him because that word free deals with being free from the obligation of legalism, obligation of religion. It's really what it means. It's literally, you go look it up in a strong, it means that to be free from those things. And so now what happens is now, once I get intimate with revelation, I'm no longer worshiping out of obligation. I'm now worshiping out of a relationship that I've developed with my Creator now, with God, with Jehovah. I'm now worshiping him out of that relationship rather than because it's Sunday or because the praise team said lift their hands or because the pastor is shouting and hooping and hollering. Now I'm going, that's my time to worship. No, now you worship him because you don't have it. You're not doing it out of obligation. You're doing it out of relationship. You're doing it because you have become one with the Father. He said, become one with me. He talks about that in John chapter 17. He says, I pray that they become one with me as I am one with you. Jesus prayed that prayer. And so that's what will happen. This is when worship, man, this is when worship will begin to cause things to happen in our houses, in our churches. When we become intimate with the revelation of Jesus Christ, intimate with what Jesus did on the cross, with the physical cross. When we become intimate with these things, our worship, we'll have worship services where we won't be able to stop them. It won't be a 15-minute worship set and we stop and go on to the next thing. We won't be able to stop it because the glory cloud up so heavy in the house.
My God, you said something key there. So now the presence of worship is in the church. And what I've noticed in a lot of different congregations is that when the worship goes on, all of a sudden it's like, okay, back to structure, back to our program, back to our format. And then the worship experience is just completely quenched, you know, just
right.
Suppressed and everything. And now, like, okay, we got to keep this moving. Where God said, wait a minute, I want to break some chains. I want to destroy some things up in here first. Maybe I don't want no word to come forth. Maybe I want to release a glory that is just going to be, it's going to quicken a word inside of everybody individually. You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
It just. Lord, I'm trying to contain myself.
We got to break routine. I talked about this Sunday. We got to break routine. Most of our church is routine. I dealt with this at my church Sunday. As a matter of fact, Sunday we had worship, and worship came in so heavy. The presence of God hit the house so heavy that right after praise and worship, got up, and we did altar call then. We didn't do altar call after the message. We did altar call after praise and worship. And people came down, and God delivered and set free and things like that, because I made up in my mind I don't want to get caught in a routine, because my routine is going to make me miss God.
Mm.
And so it doesn't matter what my program says. The question is, what do you want? What does God want the service to be? What does God want it to look like? Because, again, we get so caught up in the routine, and the routine doesn't do anything. The routine cannot produce intimacy. I talked about Sunday the fact that if your marriage is nothing but a routine, then your marriage has no intimacy. It has
That's
no
right.
real intimacy. And if there's no so you can't get pregnant.
So, Pastor, because I want to go there too. So many places I want to go with you. By the way, the Spirit. So, Lord have mercy. Y'all better get some of this, amen. We brought our own water tonight on the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. We got Pastor Tory Montgomery, amen. And y'all know how the Holy Spirit does whenever he come up on here, amen. He just does a phenomenal thing as always. So back to what we was talking about, the worship. So a lot of times, so the prayer intercession, it really needs to start before service.
Yes.
Before service.
Yes, absolutely. We pray. We start our prayer before 30 minutes before service. We start praying. Start filling the atmosphere up with prayer, saturating it with prayer. You have to prepare for what you want God to do with an expectancy, and that's what the prayer and the praise and the thing, that's what it does. It prepares you before you actually get into that place that you want that you're going to. So I think it's very important to prepare for it. Very important to set the atmosphere even before the people get in the house, before the people get there. You know, that's important. Absolutely.
Mm. Amen, amen. Okay, now as we switch gears a little bit, you was talking about marriages. Okay. A lot of marriages tow up. Let's just keep it real. A lot of marriages tow up in the church. We got the highest divorce rate in the country. The church, yes, it's us.
Absolutely.
This is not releasing anything. It's just what it is. So
yeah.
One of the things I notice is that people, they'll find themselves in a state of fornication, and then they'll get married, and then they'll seal that thing in the covenants of marriage, and now they'll find themselves, and a lot of individuals that I may have run across in previous time, the man might be spiritually mature, but the woman said, I'm not want to go where you going. And then now it's a discombobulation. What goes on right there?
Well, you know, that's a good question. What happens is, here's the deal, and that people generally oftentimes want to live right. They want to. I mean, because a lot of times we preach condemnation for people who are doing things and things. So people want to live right. So what happens is, because I'm a man of God and I want to do things right, I just find somebody to marry so that I can be, so that I can always be right. I just find somebody to marry so I can say the bed is undefiled now. And
wow.
So we oftentimes get ourselves in situations that once we get into that marriage situation, we find out, wait a minute, I don't even like you. and so we got a whole other issue on our hands once that happens. You know, I think I may have talked about before that we, and another issue is that oftentimes we see somebody who is, I mean, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, prophesying, speaking in tongues, doing all the stuff. And in our mind, we say, that's got to be my wife because she's saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, prophesying.
And then
when we meet them, what has happened was we were attracted to the anointing, but we don't like the person. Once we get home with them, we find out the person is different from the anointing.
Did you be like, okay, can you just keep preaching to me? Can you just preach to me?
No,
let the anointing go. I don't like who you are without the anointing. Just keep preaching to me.
Exactly. And so sometimes I think, and this is challenging for people, but I think sometimes we have to, don't get me wrong, we have to be very spiritual and we have to do things. That's who we are. But sometimes we got to come down and say just be simple things as, do we have fun together? Do we like to hang out together? Can we just, I mean, do we like to talk? because you figure those things out, because that's those are the things that's going to sustain your marriage. So when you have a friendship, when you can really be friends, so in tough times you can say, but this is my friend, and this is somebody I like to hang out with and like to talk to. And it's not just, I wish you was just staying at an anointed place. And then that's why people say stuff like, you're supposed to be a man of God. You're supposed to be a woman of God. Well, what they're saying, a lot of times what they're saying is, when I met you, you was in the pulpit preaching and casting out devils, but now you're at home, and I don't like what I have.
My God. And it's a lot of that going on. They just keep it real. It's like, you know, you see the glory of God, so you feel, you see that you have that intimacy, so you want to always connect with that. But then when you see, this is why I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, Pastor, it has to be a connection with the soul of a person, not just the Spirit of God, not just the one of those three dimensions, which is body, soul, and spirit, but you also have to connect with the soul of a person. Because if you don't connect with that soul of a person, then when they're anointing, they just, you know, when it goes on and stuff, now you're faced to deal with their emotions, their feelings. Why you got to watch Monday Night Football? Well, I'm just saying, the 49ers playing. I don't want to watch Kaepernick. You understand what I'm saying? That stuff. So
Just
explain that a little bit more, Pastor.
Right, absolutely. Again, you're connecting. You got to realize you're not marrying just a preacher or a prophetess or a prophet or an apostle or whatever. That's their position, or that's their where God has elevated them to, or whatever. That's the calling on their lives. You're not just marrying that. You're marrying a person that likes football. You're marrying a person that likes basketball.
Amen.
You're marrying a person that likes to do other things. And if you don't recognize that, again, you're going to be frustrated in the marriage, because you only fell in love with the pastor or the apostle.
My Lord.
And you didn't fall in love with the person who likes to go to football games. And you're going to be frustrated and mad and all those types of things. So it's important that we get too deep and spiritual sometimes, even with, you know, I had a dream that, you know, God was going to send and she was going to be wearing white. And then you see somebody in white and you think, oh, that's her. You know, and then you get in the thing and frustrated because that wasn't the one. Remember Adam, when Eve came, when God brought Eve to Adam, Adam saw her. But the reason God brought her, she's suitable for him. I'm going to make a helpmate suitable for him. Everybody is not suitable for you. It doesn't mean they're a bad person. They're just not suitable for you. It doesn't mean they're unholy or what. It just means they're not suitable for you.
Yes.
And everybody with the anointing is not suitable for you. Everybody walking power is not suitable for you. So you have to find a person that's suitable for you in every aspect of your life, because you marry every aspect of who they are, every level of who they are. That's what you marry.
So, Pastor, since we're talking about marriage, and we're going to help all of y'all, 347-945-5416, Mantle of God Empowerment Program with our very own Pastor Tory Montgomery of the Connect Church in Oklahoma City, back for round three on the Mantle of God. Now, I want to ask you something. Now, people got to understand in relationships and marriages particularly that when you connect with somebody, when you see somebody there, it's like stock. It's like you got to realize it's a fusion of anointing going on. It's a fusion of anointing going on. And so just walk us through that, like the fusion of anointing. Now you find somebody, you like how they are. Like, okay, I want to marry them now. Okay, but the anointing. So isn't it just important just to know that who you're connecting with, the spiritual growth, where they at spiritually, how much anointing is resting on there? Have they tapped into that higher dimension of anointing? Can they get a prayer through the ceiling? Not just look good, but can they get a prayer through the ceiling? Amen?
Absolutely. That's very important. So, you're talking about all elements of who a person is. So I deal with, we're cool. I like hanging out with good friends. All that's good. Now we got to deal with this element of their spiritual walk. Where are you spiritually? Because, again, we're talking about I'll be frustrated if I'm at a 10 spiritually and you're at a 0 spiritually. I'm going to be frustrated. Okay. So we have to find out where you're spiritually, where are you going spiritually. What is your spiritual goal and destiny for your life? What do you feel like God's called you into? Because, you know, everybody can't be married to an apostle. Everybody can't be married to a pastor. Sometimes, you know, See, we can go opposite now. We can go all the way opposite. I like the way they, I like hanging out with them, like talking, like doing all that stuff. And you handle the stuff.
You're breaking up, Pastor. Lord.
Hello?
Yeah, man, interview, you tapping into something. Keep going, Pastor. We won't keep you with us, amen. Keep going.
You got me?
Yeah, we got you, man. You're still in the house, amen.
All right. Yeah, I was saying, I was going on the opposite end of that, you know, where you found somebody's friends and you like them and you hang out with them, but then the question now has to ask, can you handle, as the word mantle, can you handle their mantle now? Can you handle who they are in the spirit now? Because if you can't handle that, again, you're going to be frustrated. You're not going to be able to deal with that situation now, because now you're dealing with the pressure of the mantle that's on their life. So you got to look at those aspects of it as well when you're in that process of moving into a relationship with someone.
So that is that why you see a lot of apostles around the nation? They're intermarrying prophetess. We noticed that trend. Amen. That a lot of apostles in a Marian prophetess, and is it because the prophetess they can decree, they can prophetic intercession, and they can war in the realm of, I mean, is that why you as a woman you got to be able to handle the mantle of your man? You got to be, he comes home full of casting out devils. You got to be able to minister to that man of God and stuff like that. You can't be prophet watching Young and the Restless talking about look at Victor Newman and all of this stuff. You got to be able to pour back into your man. And am I right, Pastor?
Yeah, you definitely have to, and vice versa. A man has to be able to pour back into the woman if she's in ministry as well. And I think what's important is somebody's in any form of ministry leadership, there's all types of pressure. There's discouragement that comes. There's, you know, if you're dealing with pastors, you pastor a church or an apostle, bishop, whatever it is, there's moments of discouragement that comes. For whatever reason, you know, you got to be real. Sometimes, even the offering ain't what it was last Sunday. It ain't, you know, it's pressure. You know, people don't want to talk about that, but it's a real pressure. If you know, if 100 people showed up last Sunday and 40 people show up this Sunday, there's pressure. People are always talking about what the pastor, the leaders are not doing. They're not doing this. They're not doing that. So when that person comes home, they need to have somebody in their life that can pour into them, that can encourage them, that can motivate them, that can push them and keep them going, that can push them to the next level and let them know it's going to be all right and let them know that they have total support. Because sometimes the spouse is the only support that a person has.
My Lord, yeah. My Lord. So what is, and listen, y'all got about 15 minutes left. If you desire prayer, I just wanted to say this 10 minutes earlier. If you desire prayer out there, if you really desire prayer, you need prayer, you call in, you press 1. Those of you who are on the line's on fire right now, you can press 1 because I just felt that in my spirit. If you need prayer, you press 1. The men of God will stand in agreement, will pray with you in the name of Jesus Christ, amen, concerning your need at this time. So you got about 15 minutes. If you want to sit there and wrestle with it, amen, you go ahead and wrestle with it, amen, but you go ahead and press 1 at this time. You don't even have to give your name. Just say, I need prayer, and we'll pray, amen. We'll be in perfect agreement. Pastor here, he'll definitely lead you in prayer, amen, in Jesus' name, as I submit myself to the Spirit of God. Now, in the name of Jesus Christ, we know that you're raising up young folks, amen, in Oklahoma. Tell us about the work that you're doing in Oklahoma at Connect Church.
Yeah, raising up leaders, that's really my purpose and my calling on this earth, really, is to raise up leaders of this generation. And when I say generation, even when I say young people, what I found out is that even some people that are older in age are also – I'm sorry, say it again.
No, I said, come on. I was agreeing with you, Pastor.
I thought you said, hold up. My fault. I thought you said, hold up. No, but some people who are older in age still need to be brought up and raised up in that the thing that's on the inside of them to be pulled out. And so that's my assignment, is really to raise up true leaders that have the heart of God, true leaders that understand influence, understand what it is to be a light and to be that influence and to set an example, set a standard, and to really become world changers. That's what we're doing at Connection Church. We're creating world changers, you know.
Well, amen. And I want to ask you a question. why doesn't a lot of pastors have the heart of a shepherd? Why is that missing among a lot of leaders?
Well, I mean, well, you know, a lot of times it's pride creeps in, and sometimes pastors have the tendency to want to be the man. I want to be it, and so I want everybody to just follow me and let me be it. And a shepherd actually should feed and nourish and build up and prepare people for their destiny, and not just say I'm the man. I'm the anointed one of the house. Yes, God has given you anointing for the house, but the anointing flows down. It flows down the beard onto the body. So in the reality of it, is the pastor should always be getting a fresh anointing poured on the head, and it should always be going down to the beard. The beard is maturity, and it should be always going to the body, which means there should always be a collection of anointing that's flowing down to the body, a collection of anointing that's flowing down to the body always. But what a lot of times we do as leaders is we just stop the anointed flow at the head, and we say it's just going to stay here at the head, and we don't let it flow down to the beard and to the body. But we got to get back to the place, again, that the anointing is flowing to everybody, and not just the pastor. That's what shepherding is, in my opinion, my thought. It is raising people up and not just pushing people down and saying, you follow me, and that's it. It's raising people up to be leaders.
So why is not a lot of people, a lot of young people are getting frustrated? And what I say for them, for all of y'all who are listening, all the young people, you know, your teenagers, your 20-year-olds and all men in 30s, many of them are getting frustrated. Oh, we got a caller. Okay, you step into the ring, Mantle of God Empowerment Program. Caller, you're on the air. Give us your name, your question.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
This is Bishop Jones.
Bishop Jones, how you doing? We have Bishop Jones from Chicago, host of, I believe, 1580?
Yes.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the Mantle of God Empowerment Program, Bishop. You got Pastor Tory Montgomery on with us. You go ahead and ask away, Bishop.
Yeah, I just wanted some prayer. I came in because it's right at the time as y'all was praying, and I wanted Pastor, if he will, to pray for us in Chicago as we continue to do the will of the Lord here in this side of the vineyard.
Yes, sir, absolutely. And I'm so glad you called in. And I definitely want to lift you up and pray. What's the name of your church there, Bishop?
I Am Fellowship.
Okay. Amen. Well, Father God, we just lift up I Am Fellowship and Bishop Jones right there in Chicago, God, and we just pray that, God, you just a fresh wind will fall in that house, God. We thank you, Father God. It's a fresh anointing. I speak even encouragement to Bishop Jones, Father God. I speak, Father God, that you just strengthen him in this work, Father God, and you just begin to stir up a freshness on the inside of him, that even as he goes before the people, God, that he will come before them with a fresh, in-depth revelation, Father God, that will catapult them into a new dimension of who they are, God. We pray and we honor you in Jesus' name, and we call it done now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Bishop, do you have any questions for Pastor Tory?
Of course. I was listening in, and I was hearing about the things that he's doing down in his area, and I'm wondering about the I got the tail end about the young people, how they get discouraged, and I wanted to find out because there are a lot in our city that's discouraged, and they're not coming to church as much as they used to. What are you doing in that era where you are that is drawing young people to the ministries?
Yeah, it's all about really reaching out to them intentionally. So being intentional about reaching out to the young people. And what I found out for us is that we can't reach out to them in a churchy manner. We have to come to them and get them where they are and bring them to where we are. And that's really one of the things. A lot of them are just discouraged. A lot of people are. There's so much other things in the world that's people in different directions. But as a church, we got to become missional minded in the sense that we go to where they are and we're willing to build relationships. This is what I found that's been real good: is build relationships, build trust,
so that they can trust us because they don't know who to trust anymore. But build relationships, build trust, and then you have the ability from that point to be able to pull them in to where you are.
Okay. Yeah, because we're getting with all of our churches, me being the presider, a lot of times they're telling me that we really want to try to get more young people into our services on Sundays. And so I was trying to see what you all are doing over there that I can encourage my pastors to go forth in.
Yeah, we do have Sunday night services that we do. We do one, I think, of every fourth Sunday, but we do it specifically designed for the younger generation, which our services in general are pretty much younger design, but we have that special, I guess, set-aside time where it's designed for the younger generation to come in. We do things specifically for them, specifically to attract them, and things like that. But you have to be intentional. You have to really, if you want young people, you have to be intentional about getting them in the house. That's one thing I found out. Yes, sir.
Yeah, because we do, in our ministry, we cut off the dress code, and it's always a casual thing for us. And we find that it made our church 100% turnaround, because when the young people start coming in, because the pastor is not dressed in his robe, he's dressed in a jogging suit, you know. So we found that they were working even better. And then we started doing some other things that we saw that it was doing 100% more better than we would normally have going on. But we had a lot of my other churches were going through struggles, and so when I was that's why I was asking you about things, because we take some things from every church, you know, that if they do something that is great, then we're going to take that and see if it works for us.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. But, yeah, that's it. You just got to be intentional about it. The dress code change, that was big. That's a big thing, because a lot of young people won't come just because of that, you know.
That's
a big thing. And there's several other things that you can do as well just to kind of make it more attractional for that generation to come in. But, being intentional is it.
That's what we did. We thought that it was very more effective. So we did a lot of other things that changed the atmosphere of the ministry as a whole, because they saw that we were not on a dress code situation, because a lot of them don't want to wear a suit to church.
Right, absolutely. That's true.
You know, they don't want to put no suit on to come to church.
Right.
So.
You're right.
So we and then we're doing our evening services. We call our rap session with just teenagers doing what they want to do. They run the service, and that helps.
Yeah.
That helps a lot too when you let them do the service.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Those types of things will and it's a time process. Some things take time. And eventually you'll see the increase as you just do those certain things to become more attractive to the generation. So,
amen, Bishop. We thank you for definitely joining us here on the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. Amen. Continue listening. Amen. If they don't put you back in queue, you might have to call right back in. If they don't put you in queue, amen. But definitely thank you for calling.
All right. Bless you.
God bless you, Bishop. You too. God bless you.
Bye-bye. Amen, amen, amen. That was Bishop Dennis Jones, amen, out of Chicago, host of 1580 AM up there in Chicago, Illinois. We thank him for definitely checking out the Mantle of God. That man of God, that bishop, amen, he will definitely be our guest next Monday on the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. Amen. We thank him with his busy schedule. For definitely being a part of this, just checking out Pastor Tory Montgomery, amen, in the name of Jesus Christ. Pastor, this has been the fastest hour I probably have ever done, amen, but I'm going to rock out with you for about 10 more minutes because, you know, I had to be obedient to Bishop, amen. So, you know, he wanted some Pastor Tory time, so I, you know, let him rock out, amen. So, Amen. So definitely we was talking about the young people that you're raising up over there at Connection Church. Amen. And God has charged you raising up, you're raising up prophets and apostles?
My life mission is that anyone that I come in contact with comes into full expression. So through that, that means that if God has called them to be in the apostolic area or prophetic or evangelistic, that my goal is to raise them up so that they can manifest that. So, yeah, absolutely. Whatever office, whatever position, wherever God's placed them, it's my goal or my assignment, I'll say, to raise them up so they can say it. So I do what we call the Cree School of Ministry. It's a ministry school that I do training, theological training to public speaking, presentation, to everything. We get deep, deal with all of those types of things. And that's for the purpose of helping people discover their life, discover their calling, discover who they are. They actually have to preach messages to do, you know, different things so that it can begin to spark that calling that, or stir up that gift that's on the inside of them.
Amen. So why a lot of pastors are not getting that? And this is not to throw off on anybody, but a lot of pastors are not getting that. Like a lot of pastors, and I've had a lot of prophets, apostles, you name it on the show, we've had it. And a lot of pastors have had, and other prophets have expressed, they've been underneath pastors who just was letting their gift just, I mean, they was feel like they was being suffocated because the pastor did not know what to do with them. But through God's grace and mercy and through his anointing, he allowed you to really tap into it and able to raise up true fivefold ministers to the level where they need to be. And it's nothing more than true fivefold pastoring and at its finest by the Spirit of God. And so what are some of the things that you can tell pastors that are listening who may have a future apostle or God raising up a prophet or evangelist just by shepherding them?
Well, I think you got to have a multiplication mindset when you're doing ministry. And you're a pastor, you're an apostle, bishop, whatever it is. You got to have a multiplication mindset, which means I'm supposed to reproduce. And I reproduce after my kind. We talked about that a few weeks back. But I'm supposed to reproduce. I'm not supposed to just be the sole seed myself. I reproduce. And when you get to that multiplication mindset, then it gives you a desire to train people and to see people rise up. A lot of times the reason people are kept silent is because of intimidation. A lot of times we don't want somebody to get better than us. But the reality of it is if we follow the pattern of Jesus, when he left in the book of John, when he was talking to the disciples, he said, if you believe on me, the works that I do, you'll do. Mm-hmm. And then he got crazy and said, greater works than I have done, you shall do also. If you follow that pattern, every leader should be at a point where they want to impart into the people that they disciple to the point that as they transition to the next level, the people will become greater than they are. But people are afraid of that, but that was the pattern of Jesus. Jesus said, I'm going to make you do, you're going to do what I do, and then you're going to do greater. And once we get that mindset, we'll begin to reproduce and multiply and produce people that can go out and do what we did, but do it better. Every generation should be better than the last. Every generation should do more than the last. But oftentimes we don't think in that mindset.
My God, my God, my God. Pastor Tory, my God. I got more questions, amen, but we about out of time, amen, and this is the fastest hour I've ever done. My God, we're going to have you back. I already see that coming. We're going to have you back again, amen. This has been a blessing, amen. We've tapped into the anointing several times on this broadcast, amen. So I bless God. I definitely is a blessing every time to have you on here. And just the phenomenal work that you're doing, you and the Connection Church up there at OKC, man, it's just a blessing, man, because I met a lot of pastors, amen, and you're of that part of that remnant that God is just raising up in the dispensation, man. I mean, God has just allowed you to tap into true biblical fivefold ministry in such as purest form, and it's just a blessing to talk to a pastor who God has just raised up And that's why I've called you a last day pastor, because it's not many who have grasped the fullness of what God is trying to teach the people of God about the art of perfecting by the anointing and in the Spirit of God. So I bless you, man of God, and just salute you. And I want to ask you, when you're going back overseas briefly to Africa and those countries?
2014, we'll be doing Kenya, Tanzania, and India. We'll be doing Kenya, Tanzania, India, and July, the summertime, is I know we'll hit East Africa, and then we're still working on details with India, and so we'll be doing that. So.
Okay. Well, we got to go. We got to go. Amen. That's the
all
top. Because right. Nathan on the spot, they're definitely on the road, amen, and we're traveling around, amen. So, you know, we don't want to definitely hinder the broadcast, but amen. Tell people where to find you at.
Oklahoma City. You can contact me at the website, connectionokc.tv or thecc.tv. You can call our number. Our office is 405-601-2878. Again, it's 405-601-2878 or the website, thecc.tv, and we'll be there. You can connect with us there.
God bless you. This has been the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. We'll be back here on Sunday night. Well, we got a program all through the week. You know, tomorrow they got Unless the Lord Builds the House with Minister Weathersby, Pastor Sherry Scales. And also on Thursday you have theologian Dr. Peter Paul Ventura from Imperial Beach, California. And then I'll be back here on Sunday with the Mantle of God, where we have our special guest, none other than the psalmist herself, Psalmist Annette Williams, amen, from Buffalo, New York. Amen. The work in progress, amen. And then back here next Monday, Mantle of God, we'll have our very own Bishop Dennis Jones, who you just heard from briefly, amen, the man of God doing big things up there in Chicago. Connect with Pastor Tory Montgomery and Bishop Jones. They're on Facebook, respectable social media sites. Until next time, God bless you. EMG, on the spot, Nathan, we are out. God bless. Thank you.
God bless. Amen.
God bless.
God is able. God is able. God is able, and he won't fail. God is able. God is able. God is able. And he won't fail. Tell me who make mountains move out of my way. Who make a miracle because of my faith. And when the doctor says no, can still say yes. And when I'm in trouble, who's right there to help me pass every test? God is able. God is able. God.